Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. Kirk Morrison, Alan Sliwa. We go till 9 o'clock tonight. Lindsay Theory will come on at 7:30. We'll talk some Rams football and some NFL in general. Kirk Morrison, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Hey, man, what's going on with you, Sliwa? How we doing on this Wednesday night? Is it a glorious Wednesday?
It's a nice one. I'll go glorious. It's a nice
there we
Wednesday.
Go.
Kirk, not going to lie, man, you know, you gave me a little bit of a pep talk yesterday.
Right.
Taking this thing a little bit more serious.
Uh-huh.
How about I was watching videos, bro? I got to be honest. It is one of those things, too, where it's kind of like soaks in where you're watching. I'm watching literally how to take down, you know, this speed eating hot dogs and buns and everything else. Not something I thought I'd be doing this week. But you know what? It is what it is. We're going to bring it tomorrow. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to bring it tomorrow.
You better. That's all I'm saying. You better. I don't expect anything different, man. Anything less. You got to bring your A game, right? We not only represent our alma mater in San Diego State, the Fighting Aztecs.
Yes, sir.
But we representing Sliwa at night. And you take down Mace, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's huge. That's big. That's something that you can hang on your wall. Hang that up on your banners. You know, get the banners. Hang them high.
That's so funny to hear that. It's so funny. You take down Mace in a hot dog eating competition. This could be it, Sleep. This could be it.
But you beat him. You can walk in and say, "Yeah, I beat you."
All right. Listen to some of the strategy here. All right. I'm gonna tell you some of the stuff that I watched. First of all, he had Joey Chestnut on his show earlier today. And what do you think? I wasn't gonna listen. Of course, I was listening. I was taking notes. Like I was at class or something. Okay, but this guy, I was, you know, watching some videos or whatever. So, all right, there's an art to this. Like, there's no messing around. There's three different strategies to do it. The strategy that I think I'm gonna go with is you break the dog in half. You take that down first. You take the bun. Bun goes fully into the water. Take down the bun. The bun is actually, because it's so soaked in water, supposed to help you digest the hot dog. And then you go right back at it. And you just keep going.
Just keep going.
I don't know how many I could take. Here's the thing, Kirk. Here's the funny thing. I have no idea how many hot dogs I'm going to be able to eat. I've never done anything like this before. But, you know, part of this, too, is Mace's, when it comes to entertaining, that's what Mace does. He entertains. So this is going to be one of those things. I got to, you know, obviously roll with the punches, play with it, and let's see how many I can take down. My strategy is not to watch Mace. I don't want to see anything he's doing. I'm just going to go till the buzzer goes off. I'm going 7 minutes, 10 seconds, and I'll take my chances from there.
You know what? You got to be ready to go, brother. You got to be ready to go. And remember, adrenaline. Adrenaline also is something that you'll be surprised, right? You may go in thinking, hey, I may get 10 hot dogs, maybe 11. All of a sudden, the competitor in you, the adrenaline, it picks up. I go back to the combine. All right. I went to the combine, Alan, 2005.
I love we're comparing this to you and the combine for the National Football Association.
Well,
I love it. Keep going.
Well, because I remember training, and one of the big tests outside of the 40, you know, yard dash is the bench press, right? It's how many times can you put up 225 pounds? How many times can you push that thing off your chest? And so throughout my training, I was consistently above 20, right? I was between 20 and 23, right? And I was just consistently, just no matter what, we could do it on a Monday, same. You do it on a Thursday, same thing. And you're just training for it, But then I remember my trainer at the time, he says at the combine, you'll do more than 20. He said, you'll do more than 23. I was like, man, I just can't get past 23, 24. He said, you'll do more than what you're doing now. And I was like, what? He said, because adrenaline will take over you.
How many people are watching when you're doing the combine?
So it's position group. And so I'm with the linebackers, and I think my linebacking group maybe had about 40 guys, I believe, maybe about 40. Yeah, about 40 guys is a good number. But then you have, you're in an auditorium, and you have all of these coaches kind of standing there watching you, right? All the 32 teams represented. And then you have the players there. So you're in a room.
100% that adrenaline is going to kick.
Oh, you're in a room of about 200 people. Now, the thing about it was different was I always remember that I was Kirk Morrison. So I went, you know, in the M's, right? Because it goes in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. And the guy who went in front of me was a guy by the name of Robert McCune. Okay. McCune. And McCune goes up. And he bangs out like 34. All right, like 30. I'm like, come on. I mean, but he was like a shorter linebacker. He was a guy kind of had those short arms. So you knew he was good.
Arms just pumping them.
Oh, yeah, he was good. He could yoke him out. So he yoked out 34. Now, I'm looking like I got to go after this dude. But it was like something that came over me as I sat down on that bench and I leaned back. And it was like I lifted that bar off. And boom, I just start going. And I ended up getting 20. They gave me 25. Mm-hmm. All right. But I knew I did 27. So they said I didn't count two of them. I didn't lock out. But, man, I was moving that weight. I did more than I ever expected to. And so, Alan, I'm expecting you to do the same thing. Adrenaline is going to take over in this competition. Right? Because all of a sudden you were just like right now you're kind of just walking into it. But all of a sudden that clock starts, that whistle blows, and next thing you know, it's like you remember the movie Over the Top?
Of course I remember Over the Top. How funny is that?
Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone? And what was it about that movie? You remember he always had his hat going forward. But man, when he turned that hat to the back, you knew it was game time. You knew it was game on. He was ready to like let's go. So you got to have your over the top, man. So matter of fact, I'll get you a hat. Wear a hat tomorrow. Keep that thing on going forward.
Hat
and then
or
when
a
it's game time.
Hat or headband?
You can go hat. You got to go hat. Because once you turn that bill of that hat all the way around to the back,
done.
You got to be in another zone.
Okay.
You got to be in a zone.
Kirk, listen, man. I don't know when your motivational speaking sessions, when they're coming out, when the book's coming out, the DVD, the YouTube channel and all that, but you gotta start focusing on that. But that's what we got going on tomorrow. Over the Top, man. How great was that movie?
Yes, yes.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about tonight. And as always, this is the great thing about, you know, listen, we of course want to have sports and we want to have it all live and we want all these games back. But at the same time, there's still a lot of conversation, still a little chatter in each one of these sports on a day-to-day basis. So for today, for example, head coach Frank Vogel did a Zoom call. So all the local reporters, we got a chance to listen in on coach, get his thought process on the Lakers. Alex Caruso did so as well. We got some, great sound from Giannis Antetokounmpo on the bubble. So we're going to be talking, you know, obviously a lot of NBA. We'll hit on Major League Baseball. I thought Derek Jeter had some interesting comments, former player and obviously owner of the Miami Marlins. So we'll hit on a lot of things and Lindsay Theory coming up at 7:30. So Kirk, one of the things I want to do first, we hit on this towards the tail end of yesterday's show.
Yes.
And I didn't really have enough time to allow you to expand on it, allow myself to expand on it, and get listeners get their point of view as well. So this is what I want to do when we come back. Coach Vogel was asked about this season and if it kind of deserves one of these asterisks, right? That term has been thrown around very loosely, over the last couple of months.
Right.
That if you win a championship in 2020, whether that's Major League Baseball, whether that's the NBA, it's this MLS Cup that they're doing, whatever it is, right, that it's all going to have an asterisk because it technically wouldn't be a full season. It's not as hard. It's more of a wild card. That's been the conversation for the last couple days. So let's do this when we come back. Let's hear from head coach Frank Vogel. Let's hear from Giannis Antetokounmpo, who addresses it as well, and then we could give our thoughts as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Kirk Morrison and Alan Sliwa on 710 ESPN. The best promo right there. Kirk, that's the best promo right there. I still
you like that one?
I still haven't fully understood it yet, But Mario's work, just behind the scenes, Mario always making things
man,
happen.
Man, Mario doing his thing, man. Shout out to Mario handling biz, making us sound good, right? Making us sound good. Hopefully the people can get just a little bit of a little preview and want more more of it.
All right, so this is what I want to we've had some conversation, and actually I'm not 100% where you stand on this. So the term asterisk gets thrown around so loosely, especially right now. It's like anything that happens, it's like, oh, it's an asterisk. Oh, you know what? That doesn't count. Or that, let's not pay attention to that because of this. This is going to continue to be a question I think it's asked to a lot of, you know, obviously now the players, you're starting to hear a little bit more from them, starting to hear from the coaches, general managers, so forth. So just over the last 2 days, we got a chance to listen to Polenka. We got a chance to, you know, obviously ask questions to Alex Caruso, head coach Frank Vogel. Giannis Antetokounmpo was on a media conference call today, and here's Giannis talking about the bubble and also about this, you know, conversation that by playing out the rest of the season, it doesn't have the same value or it doesn't hold the same weight as, you know, obviously playing just a regular season. Here's Giannis.
Obviously, it's tough. Like when we go there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks in FIBA, it's really tough. I can imagine going there for 3 months. I think, you know, the game is going to be played mentally a lot. Not being able to see your family, you know, being there for 3 months, playing games with no fans. So it's gonna be mental. You gotta push yourself through this. But at the end of the day, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that you know, there's gonna be how you guys say the start next to this championship. I feel like at the end of the day, this it's gonna be the toughest like championship you could ever win. You know, because like the circumstances are really, really tough right now. So whoever wants it more is going to be able to go out there and take it.
All right, that's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hopefully the Lakers and the Bucks will be facing each other in October. That's not too far of a stretch. So, Kirk, you hear Giannis there. You've heard some of these other players. You've heard a lot of the media, you know, continue to talk about, well, you can't equate this season to another season. You know what? This is not as difficult as it would have been if it was just a regular 82-game schedule, regular playoffs, and so forth. I don't think I've ever got your full view on this. Give me your thoughts when you hear Giannis and his opinion about this actually being even harder. Do you agree with him or no?
I think he is totally, totally correct. I've been alluding to it over the last couple weeks. I keep telling people that this isn't what you think it is. Like, it's not just a walk in the park for, you know, 2.5-3 months. A lot of guys are going to be uncomfortable. Maybe all of them will be uncomfortable. Like Giannis said, it's one thing to do something for 2.5-3 weeks, right? When you go to the FIBA championships or you're going to the Olympics, you know when it's going to be over. So you kind of, you know, you suck it up a little bit and you're just like, all right, let me go do it. Let me handle business, right? I said it before, even with NFL training camps, everybody hates training camp. It's not fun. It's not fun at all, right? Because you're uncomfortable. You miss your own bed. You can't leave when you want to.
You were saying yesterday you get excited 3-4 days in. You're like, can I get the hell out of here?
Absolutely.
Can I see a different scenery? Can I, you know, go eat somewhere else?
And this is going to be so difficult for these players because you're talking about – for the guys who want it, and I've said this before, there's going to be guys who like ball, and then there's guys who love ball.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who I think love basketball will know really quickly, fairly quickly, when Orlando starts up, we'll know the guys who love basketball, who just love to hoop. Who just don't matter if it's in Orlando, if it's at the Staples Center, if it's at Venice Beach, if it's at the local Y, you'll know the guys who just want to hoop fairly quickly because this is going to be difficult. Giannis is totally correct, and I've been feeling the same way because I've been away for a while, and I'm like, man, this is tough. I want to go back. But we're talking about 3 months. That's almost a half of a season in some sports. Almost a half a season.
So 3 months, by the way, Kirk, 3 months is how long the restart's going to go, right? If you make it to the NBA Finals,
yes.
You'll have been off for 4 months.
Correct.
I mean, you have, I want to just say this because I think this is the best way that I can put it. You hear in a lot of the asterisk stuff, okay, you know what, this is going to be, NBA was almost 80% through the season. They're going to have 4 months off. This isn't planned. This isn't like, okay, you could go still hoop outside. You could still go get some runs, pick up games, go to the gym, go to the Lakers facility. No, no, no. Everything has been shut down, right? Okay, yes. So you have that you're dealing with. Then you got to come back. You got to regroup. You got to try to regain chemistry. You got to get your body right. You have to play. What were we saying yesterday? This is like a movie. They're going into a bubble. Nobody yes. can come in. Top-notch uh-huh. security. We'll talk about it later. $150 million being spent to have this bubble, you know, obviously return to the NBA and try and make this thing happen. That was reported by Windhorse a little bit earlier today. No fans, a virus that's killed over, you know, I hate to say, you know, over what, 125,000 people now, something along those lines. You can't spend time with your family. Tell me how you can possibly look at this predicament and there's still people out there saying, well, I think we're going to have to put an asterisk. I don't think this is as meaningful. This is much more challenging than any season any of these guys have ever gone through.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be challenging mentally. I think the physical part, they'll be fine, right? When the ball's rolled out there, guys, like, here we go, let's go hoop. Let's just go play, right? You have a little minor ache or minor pain here and there, you'll be okay. You can go out there, you get through it, you play through it. But when you're talking about a situation in which when the game's over, it's back to the hotel, right? Or it's somewhere inside the bubble that you may go to. It gets repetitive after a while, right? We don't eat the same foods every day, do we? No, right? We go to different restaurants, and that's our first food reference of the night, by the way.
Can't see family for, you know, an extended period of time.
You can't do a lot of things that you just normally want to do. And I bring it up because as much as we're talking about the bubble, let's just for a second pause for a second. Mm-hmm. Just pause for a second. Because if you think about what's going on in our country, especially in our state today, where the governor, Gavin Newsom, told everybody, hey, no more restaurants, no more concerts, no more bowling alleys, no more wineries and breweries.
Card rooms. Yep.
Card, everything. Right? So think about how we're acting or people that we know are acting or how they're feeling about not being able to go to certain places but still have the freedom to get in a car and go somewhere, leave, may go for a walk here, may go do that. These NBA players don't have that freedom when they get to Orlando. So that's what you have going. You are here to play ball. This is almost like, call it an AAU tournament. This is an academy. This is about straight up, do you love ball? Because that's what's about to happen. That's what's about to happen over the next couple months. For the guys who've already won a ring or guys who have made enough money, guys who just say, I'm okay, I can move on from that, that's fine, right? That's your prerogative. But there's a lot of guys who come here and say, look, I want to be a part of this. I want to do this. This is what I want to be a part of because I miss basketball. And the guys who miss basketball, you'll know, you'll see it. Now, there's some other guys who's like, look, I love basketball. I love hoop. I think Kevin Durant, had he been healthy, would he have played? Yes. But, you know, his situation is different. They got to wait till next year. I get it. There's guys who are going to be situation.
And there might be players that, you know, 100% run through the motions. And I think, right. I think when people say asterisk, I know what they're referring to. What they're saying is, because this could happen. Let's say, hypothetically, a star player catches COVID-19 and is out for 2 weeks, and that team is a wrap, right? Like, that could very easily happen. Oh, look, I'm just going to throw it in. If James Harden is out for 2 weeks, I don't care if it's an injury or it's COVID-19 or something like that, the Rockets are obviously out, right? When people say, okay, an asterisk, what they're referring to is if key players can't play because of COVID, but – basically, if a champion is crowned and it's not the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, one of those three teams, then I think people are going to ask a lot of questions. Well, what happened? How did Denver win a championship? Or how did Toronto? Or how did Houston or some of these other teams? I get the idea and the thought process behind it. But I'll just go back to this, and I made this point yesterday. At the end of the day, these are the cards that have been dealt to the NBA. These are the cards that have been dealt to every citizen in the United States. And I'm not talking just from a sports perspective. This is right. These are the cards that have been dealt really around the world. So with all that being said, I think whoever comes out, and if the league is fortunate enough to actually even crown a champion, I'll tip my hat. If it's the Lakers or it's another team, is what it is. This is just one of those years where nothing went as planned.
Yeah, I think when you hear the term asterisk, though, right? Think about it when you hear it.
You say Astros? I think you said Astros.
No.
Might as well say it.
When you hear that term, though, you're right, Astros. Because when we hear that term asterisk, what do we think of? Cheating.
Steroids. We think of
steroids. We think of cheating.
Technology.
Someone who's altered the game.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. They didn't play by the
rules. Every time you say that, like, oh, that was an asterisk. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it was not of the normal. It was not of what we're accustomed to seeing. Things were done not in a regular fashion. Okay? But in this situation, I would have to agree again with Giannis that this is not a season with an asterisk. This is an important season.
More
so
difficult.
That one that should be in bold, right? Like, if we're looking at the record books, maybe 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now, that 2020 season should be in all caps, right? Like, all caps. Capitalize everything about it.
Highlight it. Highlight the whole thing. Yep.
Because it's different. It's not like someone cheated the game. Mm-hmm. By no means. This was a one-time situation in which we hope, right? This is what we hope. That is a one-time situation in which the NBA had to put this sort of tournament together to declare who was going to be its champion for the 2019-2020 season, right? We will never, ever – I'm hoping we never see this ever again, but I understand it. That's why I think I'm embracing it more so now than I did a couple weeks back. Because I was under the impression, like, no, don't do this. Guys aren't going to be into it. Just start over next year. It's already done. But then I think about all the guys who put in all that work, and they have the opportunity. Different from the college ranks where seasons were canceled, right? Whereas, hey, we're done. The NBA has the resources. You mentioned the $150 million that
drop
they're
a quick
able
little
to do.
Kirk. Let's write a check right there. Here you go. Just $150 million.
Yeah. Here's $150 million to get this thing going, right? To get this thing up and running. And if you're able to get things up and running, I don't see why not go out and try to finish what you started. I understand it. I get that. And I would want Alan, I don't know if you ever been dumped before, right? Mm-hmm. Back in my day, you know, before I got married, things like that, in my college days.
We all remember. We've always taken an L.
I think if you haven't taken an L, man, you lying, all right? But maybe not necessarily dumped by a girl, but maybe you reached out or you tried to, and you've been rejected. And you never knew why. Everybody wants closure. Just tell me why. Was it? Did I come on too strong? Right? Did my breath stink? Like,
right, Kirk,
you
Kirk,
like
Kirk.
My outfit? Like, what? I need closure. And that's what the 2019-2020 season is in the NBA. This is closure. Orlando is giving me the closure I think that we all want.
All right, let's do this. I want to continue on this conversation. Plus, head coach Frank Vogel got a chance to ask him, what does he think of the NBA bubble? What does he think of the format? Is 8 games enough to then get prepped for the postseason? So we'll play that when we come back. Plus, a little bit more details on how much that Orlando bubble is going to cost. And Alex Caruso got a chance to talk about replacing Avery Bradley. So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, are you one of these that say, yeah, this season is going to have an asterisk? I don't care what Sliwa and Kirk are saying. Or do you agree with us? You can call in 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison on 710-ESPN.
Kirk, let me tell you what's happening right now, okay? Curtis, you can keep the music up just a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah,
people driving around L.A. right now, July 1st, kind of enjoying the fresh air. They got some good reggae on. It's not a bad combination right there, Kirk.
Nah, it's a nice little combo, right? A nice little...
weather's good.
Putting two and two together, right? You just, like, this is what you need. to get you through. To get you
By the way, I love your comparison. You said we all take an L. We just want to know why.
Yeah.
we just want to give us some closure.
We just all want closure. Mm-hmm. Like what is it? Mm-hmm. Like just tell me what did I do wrong? Let me know. I want to be
L's are a big part of the game. That's how you learn. Right? I mean, the only way you learn is you got to take some L's. All right, Kirk Morris announced. Well, by the way, Lindsay Theory is coming up at 7:30. I mentioned, for those who are out there, 877-710-ESPN, Kirk and I both feel very strong that this completing this season for the NBA is going to be much more of a challenge. We'll use, obviously, the Lakers as a great example. You don't think the Lakers preferred to be 63 games in, 19 games left to go, rolling in March, getting ready to prep that final stretch run, Kirk? We felt like, okay, the Lakers, I remember after that weekend, Bucks Clippers. I mean, I can't tell you how far my chest was out when I was doing that post game show. I was asking every listener out there, you tell me how the championship doesn't run through the Los Angeles Lakers. Now all of a sudden everything stopped, 4 months off. I mean, this is as big of a challenge I think any of these athletes are ever going to face. And I'm referring to Major League Baseball too, even baseball. You know, one of the things that hurts the Dodgers in this 60-game set is that it's only 60 games. Anything can happen. Kirk, if a player from the Los Angeles Dodgers or any baseball player for that matter gets COVID-19,
yeah,
and let's say they're out for 2 weeks, what percentage of the season is that? That's a quarter of the
that's
season.
A quarter of the season, yeah. That's a
25% of the season is gone. So yeah. You know, to just kind of play it off that, I'm. When I hear Giannis, we had a chance to hear head coach Frank Vogel say the same thing. Like, trust me, this is a challenge. This is not easy. I want to play this real quick. So this is from head coach Frank Vogel from earlier today. So coach basically is talking specifically about if this format from the NBA, does he like it? This restart that the NBA is obviously a part of, and gets into details of what he thinks about if eight games is enough. To get the Lakers prepped for the postseason?
Well, there's definitely challenges, but, you know, I would really want to commend Adam Silver and the entire league office for putting together this environment, you know, that appears and we all hope is going to be a very safe one for us to resume and finish our season. There was a lot of different ways that they could slice it. You know, I think playing eight games before the playoffs is more than enough for our guys to get their legs under them and get ready to go. So I'm comfortable with the format. I'm looking forward to compete in it with our guys. And again, commend the league for putting this unprecedented thing together.
Kirk, if you can poke any holes into the format that the NBA put together, is there anything you don't like, or were you fine with everything?
Anything I don't like? I think it's uniformity, right? I think everybody's going to do the same thing. I don't know if I can poke holes at a situation that will be ever changing, right? I think that it's room to tweak a little bit, but I think at the same time, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. I mean, I really believe that this restart is something that the players voted on as well, right? As much as we talk about the NBA, the players had to vote and say, okay, we agree, we're going to start, let's do this. So I think if there was anything that came up, the players would talk about it. I think just the bigger thing is just a salary situation. Once the salaries got a kind of, you know, took its course and everybody was happy about that, I think basketball is just basketball, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to hoop. Everybody's going to be playing at a certain time. There won't be any disadvantages. There won't be a team with advantages. It's a neutral court site, man. That's why this is – I'm hoping that it gives me some kind of NCAA March Madness type of feel to it because everybody's on the same floor, right? You're not – no one has the home court advantage. There is no home court. So it'll be interesting for me watching of what guys will step up. You know, last night it was great. You know, we had on Om Young Masuk, who was talking last night – who covers the Lakers as well for ESPN, it was great to hear from him talk about those types of players that shine when the lights aren't on, right? When the lights aren't on, they play better in practice, right? Because I've been around those guys in the NFL.
Where they have guys, more success with no fans, no...
Oh, man. I mean, it's the guys who you've seen, Alan, who ball out in the preseason, right? Mm-hmm. When there's low expectations, nobody's truly, really watching, not a ton of fans. And you're like, man, if that guy ever got a shot and he gets a shot in the regular season and you're like, oh, man, that's not the guy that we saw.
And it changes.
Mm-hmm. It changes. But there's going to be some guys who now have less fear, right? Less fear to just go out there and hoop. The outside distractions will not be something that gets to them. It's now I'm with my brothers. It's It really is. Hey, look, man, it's all of us or nothing. That's it, fellas. It's basically the guys in this huddle, right? It's us 15 players and coaches. That's it.
Bro, I'm fascinated with this whole thing.
We don't have anybody else. There is no Laker faithful, right? No Clipper faithful coming from the Warriors Nation, all that. No, the Bucks and
this whole thing
the Rockets,
is fascinating,
no.
Kirk.
You can't even bring mama to the gym.
At least through the first round, right? And that's yes. I don't know what happens after that. I'm assuming if family is there, I don't know if they can go to the games. They probably can't. I mean, I'm sure, but that's the only hole that I poke in this AAU tournament that you're talking about, right?
Yep.
The only hole I poke is this. I was so for 22 teams coming down. Actually, 20 was the number. 20 where it was where, like, I don't think Washington and Phoenix, you didn't need to invite them to this thing. But that's the only thing I look at now. I remember Mason saying during crosstalk, he's like, just 16 teams. Lower the risk. Have it as minimal risk as possible of that virus kind of spreading. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
I think they're giving them enough time training camp-wise, right? Lakers will Correct. Arrive in Toronto July 9th, in Orlando July 9th. Toronto's already there. You're going to have 8 regular season games, which sounds like to me, Kirk, at least it's not one game, it's not two. You're going to get a little bit of rhythm back. You're going to get your breath back. You're going to get your conditioning right. The only hesitation I have is because what's happening, obviously, in Florida, what's happening in that state, really what's happening across the entire country where COVID cases are shooting. The only hesitation I have is maybe they didn't need to invite 6 additional teams times 35 people each team. Hmm. That's the only one.
That's the only one, huh? Oh, that's the scary one, though. Like, that's
a lot
the scariest, right? That's the one that we all fear. And I'm trying not to have that fear. I think we're hoping. And I think a lot of Laker faithful are hoping as well because you realize that you were peaking at the right moments and it was all taken away. Mm-hmm. But now you have to regain where you were. And which teams can just pick up where you left off? There's a lot that has to go into this. And I think that we assume things that may happen. We assume that what we saw back in March can just repeat itself. Because I'm under more of the opinion that I think we're going to see an underdog team that no one's talking about that can slip into the finals or the conference
finals. Who do you think it is? By the way, you think it's coming out of the East? Probably more. I think more likely to come out of the East, but just because the West got the Lakers and the Clippers, you know, you got to think one of those two teams. But I don't think that's a stretch. Eastern Conference
a
team like Miami sneaks in. A team
like Miami with Jimmy Butler and those
Toronto.
Guys.
How about Toronto? Toronto could sneak in. Philadelphia can catch a run and just, you know, go on with all the talent they have.
You got to realize it, though. You got to realize this. It's a bunch of dudes that really, honestly, just don't care. And when I say don't care, there's two don't cares. There's, man, I don't care to be here. I'm just going to go through the motions. And it's the other part of, man, I don't care what people think. I'm about to go out there and go ball. Right. And that's the scary ones, like a Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, like
got nothing to lose.
We got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part, man. That's the scary part of them guys who have nothing to lose. I've
to regroup. Yep.
We've been around those guys before. Right. You've been in the locker rooms and seen those guys. that you talk to him after the game and you're like, what's my man's name? I can't think of it right now. I remember a long time G League. Remember in the Lakers called him up that night and he's
Andre Ingram.
Andre Ingram. There you go. Mm-hmm. He didn't care. Like, mm-hmm. man, I just don't care. Man, this is my opportunity. Mm-hmm. This is my night to shine. And it's those kind of guys, those moments that like, look, this may be my only opportunity. So you do have those guys in those moments who can get hot, because now we're talking about getting hot on a nice little 1 month, 2 month run.
Bro, this is going to be so
just
good.
Going for how a good whole is this full season.
Be? How
I
good
mean,
is this going to be?
You got guys who like, look, right now can hit their peak. At
you know,
the
games
right
start
time.
At 10:30 in the morning. Some games yeah. start at 10:30.
Man, NCAA. AAU tournament. Y'all think I'm lying when I tell y'all that.
I'm filling
I'm
out a bracket.
Real.
I'm making a bracket right now. We're going to get this
I'm
thing out.
I'm being real. We're about to wake up with basketball, go to sleep mm-hmm. with basketball. And I love it because that's what's, you know, that's what's the competitive juices that
sure.
we're going to see because mm-hmm. that basketball is actually going to what? It's going to mean something,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to mean something. This isn't just, oh, we're just playing just to play. No. Everybody's playing for a championship.
You're there. You might as well, right? Like, I mean, if you took this much of a sacrifice under these circumstances, you're in Orlando. And by the way, there are teams out there that feel like, okay, this is going to happen in Major League Baseball. I guarantee you there's a handful of teams that thought they had no chance in a 162-game stretch. Now, all of a sudden, that sample size is just 60 games. You don't think there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more teams out there that all of a sudden think, hey, all we have to do is go be hot for a month and a half, and we might have enough of an edge where we might actually even, you know, be a part of this postseason tournament. I think that's, you know, obviously going to be a part of the NBA as well. All right, we got to go to break here real quick. Kirk, when we come back, NFL is starting to make some adjustments. So this whole time that we thought the NFL was just going to kind of do things, go by their own schedule, that is starting to be changed. So want to spend a little bit of time on that. Plus, Rex Ryan praising the Cam Newton signing, all that coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, Alan Sliwa, and Kirk Morrison on 710 ESPN. Game started at 10:30, Kirk. 10:30. It's like NFL football, but the difference is this is going to be on like a Tuesday morning. You're going to wake up and there's going to be 6 games for the day. Not going to be able to beat that.
No, and I'm going to plan my days accordingly as well.
Mm-hmm. As we all should. Okay, so, Kirk, we got some news in the NFL. And I think we've kind of talked about, all right, well, what's the NFL's plan? One of the things that you've mentioned, you've highlighted, look, they got some time. They're using time to their advantage, right? And that doesn't mean, I think it's so easy sometimes when you don't get information or you don't hear enough from a commissioner. It's so easy for us and the fans to be like, what are they doing? They don't know what they're doing. The NFL makes so much money every single year. I'm sure they're running 35 different plans to try and figure out how they're going to have football this year.
Right.
But last week we heard the Hall of Fame game was canceled. And then today we heard the NFL is trimming the preseason in half. So they're eliminating 2 weeks. Weeks 1 and 4 are out. So with that being said, just as an example, that means for the Rams, August 14th versus the Saints – and September 3rd versus the Raiders are canceled. But the game against the Chargers and the Broncos will stay. So, you surprised that they're taking a couple of these preseason games out? Is this kind of a sign of some things to come? Or do you think this is where we are. This is a decision we have to make now based on some of the info that we have.
Yeah, this is a decision we have to make right now. Because you're trying to put together a timeline. Right, a game plan for how is this season going to, you know, really get started? How's it going to take off? You know, mm-hmm. how's it going to get started? And when you look at the preseason, there is traveling that's involved in the preseason. Okay, you're going to have, you know, entire teams. And remember, the rosters are set at 90. So we're not talking 53. We're talking about basically almost two full teams. Two regular season full teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Traveling. It's a lot of guys. I remember just in the preseason, the plane was extra full, right? Everybody's doubled up. But then all of a sudden the regular season comes like half empty. And I know the amount of resources and people that have to go you know, on planes.
To what go goes to into it to games. Get a game? Yep. Mm-hmm.
And to take away two preseason games, it's also what the coaches want because they haven't had a lot of in-person instruction, a lot of in-person technique, talking, just mentoring, all of that. And they'd rather say, look, I'd rather take that 2 weeks of being able to, you know, acclimate my players more so than putting them in harm's way in a preseason game when they probably may not be ready. So the 2 weeks, or the two games, I should say, is going to hopefully help and benefit, you know, a lot of the younger players, a lot of the coaches, more instruction, more walkthroughs, more film study, but everything will be all done together. I don't see it as a bad thing, okay? Because you're only losing out on two preseason games. And to be honest, if you ask me what the preseason looks like, Alan, it's this way. The first preseason game, you don't have any starters playing.
Right.
Second preseason game, they go in there and they play about four, you know, between 6 to 10 plays. Then the third preseason game, which people call the dress rehearsal, you probably mm-hmm. play about a quarter to a half, and that's it. And no one plays in the fourth preseason game. So now you're basically getting rid of two games that players weren't really
meaningful anyway, or weren't even going to play. Right? Kirk, weren't they? Didn't they want to? Didn't most players want to eliminate a couple preseason games anyways? Was that down, you know, years ago? I can't remember how long ago it was.
No, it was talked about. You're right. No, mm-hmm. it was talked about how do we, you know, get rid of a couple preseason games.
So you don't have a concern. You lose these two preseason games. It's not like you feel like, oh, that's going to have a major effect on the field when the regular season starts, because most of these stars and starters are not playing in these preseason games anyways.
Well, they weren't before. And I think mm-hmm. now when you only have two left, you're going to get some starters playing.
Yep.
To just get acclimated a little bit, right? This is going to be a little bit different. And the people who I feel sorry for the most are the undrafted free agents, you know, guys, you know, practice squad
guys. That was
guys,
their chance.
First and second year guys who really need to make that, you know, make that time count. Make those games count, okay? Because the preseason games usually are for those guys to show coaches, hey, look, I can be more than just this. I'm a valuable asset to the team, whether it's the special teams, whether being the fifth, sixth receiver or the extra running back. I mean, guys can make and stake claim for roster spots. Mm-hmm. And right now that may not happen because you won't get those reps. Everybody just talks about reps, right? We talk about reps, even in our position, in our business.
100%.
Right? We need reps. Like, you know, mm-hmm. me and Alan, we try to get reps. Mm-hmm. Because the more reps, the more comfortable you feel, the more confident you are, you know, the more of a better show that you have. It's the same thing with NFL players, same thing with NBA players, baseball players. It doesn't matter. The more
any
opportunities
job that you have, any
the more
job
opportunities that, you,
have.
That mm-hmm. you get to show what you can do and how much better you can be, man, it helps out. So that's my only concern, is for the guys who we don't know right now who are going to miss out on those opportunities, because they'll be taken. They'll be given to the starters who have to play. I've seen those guys before. I know who they are. I've seen them play, you know, like a Philip Lindsay, who was an undrafted free agent, and he led the rookies in rushing a couple seasons ago. An Austin Eckler. It's those types of guys, right, who don't necessarily get that opportunity, but they go out there, and next thing you know, they're handling business. They're playing. They're doing everything correct, and you're like, where'd he come from? Well, he played in the preseason. You know, he found a way. He found a way to use an opportunity.
That's the best opportunities for players like that. But like you mentioned, to kind of start this thing off, right now for football, it's all business. And for business purposes, if you're going to have a football scene, you got a football season, you have to minimize as best as you can. This might not be something that, you know, I know they don't want to reduce the regular season. We'll talk later if that, you know, if that would be next step, what that would look like. But as of now, you got the Hall of Fame game that's canceled, two regular season games that are obviously wiped out. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, she's coming up next. So we'll continue this football conversation. I know, Kirk, for me, one of the questions I want to, you know, ask Lindsay is just, what's the feeling right now in the NFL playing out this season? How they're going to kind of use the structure of time over the next, let's say, 60 days. What is a game plan? So we'll do all that coming up next
Alan Sliwa and Kirk Morrison. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.